They've been overseas, jet-setting the world. They've been in those tipping countries is where they've been. And great thought, Renee. Love that thought. Tipping, it's just something you've got to get used to when you travel overseas. In some places, they will just automatically take your tip from you. It's like you go on a cruise, they take the tip. It's like in Australia, our attitude is, I'll give you a tip. And it's not a financial one. I'll give you a tip. So it's a good thought. Great thought. Well, we're sharing the thought of make room, which is the theme we've been on all month as we prepared for our special legacy offering last weekend. And we're closing that thought out today of make room, and particularly focusing on the thought of make room for God. Make room for God. Whenever you make room for God, He fills it. He fills the spaces of our lives when we make room for Him. Today, I want to go to one of my faves as we finish off this series of thought. It's one of my favorite sections of Scripture. And it seems like almost every weekend when I open it up and talk about it, it's one of my faves. But this one really is Matthew chapter 9. It's recorded in several of the Gospels. It's the story of one day when Jesus was going to heal Jairus's daughter. The Bible says this in Matthew 9:20. It says, "And suddenly," stop right there. You know, whenever you read those words in the Bible, you just need to stop. You need to just brace yourself because something big is about to happen. Everyone say something big. Something big is about to take place in the Bible. It uses this phrase suddenly in several places. It uses it in the book of Acts about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when they were in a prayer meeting. It was just an ordinary old prayer meeting. They were waiting and believing for God to come and breathe His special gift upon them. And the Bible says, and suddenly into the room came the Holy Spirit. Well, suddenly here, something big is about to happen. It says, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment, referring to Jesus. A woman came from behind, touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Here's the story. Jesus is walking down the road, crowded around with throngs of people. He's got His followers with Him, His little group, His disciples, and they're headed to the leader of the synagogue's house. His name was Jairus. Jairus had a massive problem. His girl had just passed away, and he came to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Would you please come, because I know you can raise my daughter to life." So Jesus is on a journey. Imagine if you were Jairus. You're Jairus, you have this desperate need, you've got a hold of Jesus, you're leading Him probably by the hand to your place, and all of a sudden, this woman, everyone say this woman, this woman gets involved and intervenes because she also has a need. What I want you to notice today is this, is God is big enough for more than one need at a time. God is big enough for more than one need at a time. And the fact that you have a need doesn't mean the person on the other side of the room who also has a need can't reach out to God. You got to make room. She made room for God. She comes to Jesus, pushes through the crowd, approaches Jesus when He doesn't know He's being approached. So she comes from behind, she reaches out, she touches Him. The other writers of the Gospels say that when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus felt healing power flow out from Him into this woman. What I want you to notice today is that this woman, she pushed through regardless of the barriers, regardless of her circumstances, she pushed through to make room for God. My first big thought today is this, is passivity. Passivity won't produce possibility. Passivity won't produce possibility. If we're going to be, and this is where we started this series of thought, if we're going to be a people of possibility, which is what we need to be, that's a people of faith. If we're going to be believers and a people of faith, and that's who we are, then we can't afford to live with a spirit or or in a zone or space of passivity, of being passive about what we're hoping God to do, about being passive about what we want God to do, about being passive in regards to the promises of God. There's got to be a sense of pursuit, a sense of pursuit. And that's what this woman has. 12 years of going to every doctor she possibly could. 12 years of trying every medication, every witch's potion, whatever it might be that was out there that could possibly help her. Every pill, she'd popped it for 12 years and it hadn't helped her situation. 12 years of frustration, 12 years of struggle, 12 years of dead end options, 12 years of diminishing possibilities and probabilities, 12 years of endless expense and remedies. Yet here she is on this day after 12 years still pushing her way through the crowd, making room for possibility. She keeps putting herself out there. She keeps putting herself in that space and in that zone of believing for God to do something. She's still proactive after 12 years, still hoping and still believing. Anyone in the room still in their circumstance after 12 years? Come on. Anyone still in the place and the zone where the answer has not come and things you're believing God for? Can I say to you today, don't give up. Don't give up. Turn it over and say, don't give up. Don't you go quiet now. Don't go getting passive now. Don't go shutting down now. Don't go diminishing your faith now. Don't downgrade your hope right now because it's taken a bit of time. We need to remain focused. You know, there's a big difference between being passive and being patient. The Bible tells us to be patient, which I don't like. Anyone in the room like being patient? I mean, is anyone naturally patient? I think most people that are hoping for something, believing for something, are reasonably impatient. We know what we want and we want it. Yeah, we know what we want and we want it now. Patience is being able to tolerate delays. That's a great quality. Patience is being able to tolerate delays. Like when you're on the freeway and you're driving, come to those little yellow signs, roadworks ahead, 40 kilometres an hour. When you're patient, you lower your speed to 40 kilometres an hour and it seems to go forever and ever and ever. And then you're stuck behind a caravan. Who's stuck behind a truck? And you're patiently driving and you come to the 100 zone and then you gut it up to 100 and then after about 50 metres it goes back to 40. Road works ahead all the way from Brisbane to Rockhampton. Yeah. All the way. How many of you know you need a lot of patience? Need a lot of patience when you're doing that journey. Patience is being able to tolerate delays on the way to where you're going. Patience is about how we handle delays, how you handle waiting, what you do when you're waiting for God to do something and you're waiting for the promise to come true. Patience is holding on while believing. It's holding on while believing. You know, patience is always positive, whereas passive is always negative. Being passive is always negative. Passive is where a person lacks initiative. Passive is where a person won't make the moves. Passive is where a person gives in, gives up, stops participating, stops believing, stops seeking, stops leaning in, stops engaging. Passive is where a person becomes a bystander and it never leads to a good result to be passive. The Bible hasn't called us to be passive. It's called us to be patient. Yeah. It's called us to be patient. You know, we all have seasons when it seems like nothing's happening. We all have seasons and moments, and sometimes they can be long seasons like 12 years. Everyone say 12 years. 12 years. 12 years rolls off the tongue quite nicely, but it's a long time. For 12 years, it seemed like nothing was happening. Nothing visible was happening for this woman. When you're in that 12-year wait, when you're in that extended wait zone, can I encourage you, don't allow the obvious to make you oblivious to the possibilities of what God can do and may do, and just that He might just be doing, even though you can't see it. Because God is working even when you don't see it. God is working when you don't notice it. He engages laws and principles and things that take place even while we visibly can't see it changing. And that's when we're most vulnerable. That's when our faith and our promise is most vulnerable, is in that moment of waiting, because it's so easy to get frustrated. Anyone in the room ever got frustrated in waiting? Discouraged in waiting? Walked out while you were waiting for God to do something and for the promise? Because it's so easy for voices to take you off track and people to take you off track in that moment when your family aren't getting saved and you're believing for them to get saved, when your finances are out of control and it's not improving, when your health is being challenged and seems to be getting worse, and your prayers aren't getting answered, when doors are shutting rather than opening. All of those moments are challenging moments that we all experience in this journey of faith. And what I've discovered is we tend to underestimate what is happening when nothing visible is happening. We underestimate what is actually happening when nothing visible seems to be happening. There's always something happening. There's something happening right now. It's happening. It's always happening. When it looks like nothing, there's always something. So don't miss your something because of the nothing. Because you'll always have moments of nothing. And those nothing moments are actually moments where something is happening, but you can't see it yet. You just can't see it yet. This woman has been tolerant of delays for 12 years, and she's showing amazing patience, but she's refusing to become passive. She's still believing, she's still pressing in, still leaning in, still doing her part, still seeking. And here we are, some 2,000 years after this event, and we're still talking about her. We're still talking about her amazing act of faith, because after 12 years of negative reports and no answers, 12 years of medicine not working, doctors not working, she's refusing to be passive and to give up. She embraced possibility and she refused to embrace passivity. Don't embrace passivity. It's not your friend. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." It's not just faith that we need. It's not just faith that we need. We need patience. Patience empowers our faith. We need to be believers, but we need to be believers that are prepared to stand. Paul says, "Having done all, I stand and keep standing." And like Elton John, I'm still standing. Anyone in the room standing today? Still standing. Still standing. 5 years later, still standing. 12 years later, still standing. 25 years later, I'm still standing. After all this time, still standing. Why? Because I'm patient. And with my faith and patience, I'm going to inherit the promises of God. You know, faith is not observation. Faith is participation. Faith is not observation, it's participation. Faith is a team sport. It's God and us. God and us, individually and then collectively. Sometimes you need your brothers and sisters. You need your team. You need your tribe around you. You need your connect group around you. You need your friends just to gather around you in terms of faith. And you're not just gathering to observe, you're gathering to participate together. James says this in regards to faith. He says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. It's dead. In other words, it's useless, is what James says. Just to believe something but not act on it. You've got to act out your faith. You've got to actualize your faith. So we can't afford to think of faith as just being something that I believe internally. It has an external display. It has an external display. So faith has and demands an external expression. James says, don't boast about a faith you can't walk. Don't boast about a faith that doesn't have actions to it, because faith is an action word. Faith without action is questionable. It's presumption. It's ineffective, because faith demands a follow through. Faith demands that we act on what we're believing God to do. So here's my question. What are you acting on today? What are you acting on today? What is your action today in regards to your belief? What is your action today in regards to the things you're hoping for, praying for, and believing for? This woman, after 12 years, interrupts Jesus on his way to Jairus' house because she has a need. She has this issue that the Bible talks about where she's been hemorrhaging for some 12 years, and she says to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She says, verse 21 says, she said to herself. She's talking to herself. Now, sometimes if you're talking to yourself, you're in trouble. But here she is. She's talking to herself, feeding the sense of possibility. She's talking to herself, and she said, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Where did she get that from? Where did she hear that from? She'd obviously heard something about Jesus, his teaching, his truth, heard of the miracles that Jesus has done, and she probably thought, if he could do it for them, he could do it for me. So if I can just touch him, I know that he will touch me, and I will be made well. When she said this to herself, it moved her from the sidelines of the street right onto the street to be in the proximity of Jesus to touch him. You know, there's a real truth that our talk determines our walk. That our talk determines our walk, particularly in the realms of negativity. When we start talking negatively, we have a responding negative response to negative talk in the way we present, in our posture, in our relationships, in our connection, and in our community. So what we say to ourselves and of ourselves about what God is either doing or not doing is really important, because it can either polarize you or it can populate you. It can either put you out of place or it can bring you right into the proximity of the presence of God, where you can reach out and be touched by him. So what we say is really important. If you're saying the wrong things to yourself, you're never going to make the moves that position you for the possibilities that God has for you. You're just not going to make the moves. You got to be like Jagger. You got to make the moves. You got to put yourself in the realm of possibility, in proximity with God, to be touched by him. That's what this woman teaches us. You know, in regards to moves, if you overthink, you'll underact. If you overthink things, sometimes as a believer, you will just underact. Now, there are some things it's really good to think seriously and deeply and longly about. Some things, like the big decisions of life. Like, you just don't go off and marry anybody. You just don't see a guy or see a girl or meet him in church and get married. You don't come to the pastor and say, hey, met this bloke in church last week, we're getting hitched. No, you think about that. You get some counsel about that. You get some advice about that. You do a little bit of checking about that, is what you do. You get to know each other. That's not the kind of decision, Brad, is it, that you want to do quickly? Is it, Alana? No. You want to take your time in terms of that choice. You don't rush out and just buy any old house because there's a house for sale. You want to get a house inspection done. You want to check it for termites. You want to make sure the building approvals have all been done. You want to do all your homework. You want to make sure it's not in a flood zone. You want to make sure all of those things, because that's a bit. So there's things that you've got to think through seriously. But then as a believer, there's some things that you really don't need to think through, because when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to them. When you said yes to Jesus, you really said yes to these things. As you started to know God and embrace God and engage God and follow God, you did what the Bible said to do. You laid down your life and you are taking up your cross and you are following Jesus. You really don't need Renee to come to stage and say, hey, they tip in Italy, they tip in Greece, they tip in Croatia, they tip in all those beautiful places of the world, so let's tithe. You don't need someone to tell you they tip, so tithe, or anything like that. But we do it because we're trying to encourage and inspire and educate people and inform people. But for the most part, most of us in the room have already decided. Have already decided. When we decided to follow Jesus, we took seriously that thought of laying down our lives to follow him. It's kind of like that was not a suggestion. When Jesus said that, that wasn't a suggestion. It's kind of like a command. There's a big difference between a command and a suggestion. When something's commanded, it's expected. When something's suggested, it's like, well, if you feel like it. If you feel like coming and doing this, then just come and have a go. Give it a crack. See how that works for you. But when you're commanded, it's like, there's a sense of authority on that thing. So some of the things we don't need to get a word from God from. Like, you don't need to fast and pray about these things. I'm going to mention a few to you. So put your seatbelt on. I say that because I don't want anyone leaving the room. Just put your seatbelt on. Or kind of like what God said to Job in the book of Job. Job's having a complaint to God about all the issues of life and everything that's going wrong. And I know we've all done that. And then God says, you're finished now? And then God says, brace yourself, because I'm about to talk back to you now. There's some things that God has set in stone for us as believers. Like, number one, being part of a church family and belonging to a house of God and belonging to the church of God, not just this, but the church, that's not something you've got to give a great deal of thought through. Like, should I go to church as a believer? It's like, yeah, you probably should, because that's something that God has built into the DNA of what it is to be a believer. To be consistent in church and show up, That's not something you've got to pray about. Oh, should I go to church today? Yeah, get out of bed, get your clothes on, do your hair, brush your teeth, put your makeup on, boys, and go to church. You don't have to think about that. That's just what we do. Because why? We're believers. We're believers. That's what believers do. Should I serve in the house of God, or should I leave it up to everybody else? Like, really? We've got to think about that. We've got to pray. I'm going to fast and pray for 6 months and see if God wants to use my gift. He wants to use your gift. He gave you the gift to be used. He gave you the abilities to be used to build up the church and the family of God. The giving, the tithing aspects that we talk about, it's not something you've got to pray about. You don't have to pray about that. That's something that we do instinctively as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Forgiving and extending grace to people like Renee was talking about, and having a great forgettery. What a great word. Like, they have fooderies out there, and we should have forgetteries everywhere. You should be such a good forgetterer. Yeah, I just created another word, Renee. Forgetterer. Have such a great forgettery that you're extending grace and forgiveness to people. Loving people and honoring people. That's not something you've got to pray about. Like, should I honor that person? Should I love that person as Jesus tells me to do? It wasn't a suggestion. He really meant what he said when he said that about honoring leaders and God's word and God himself. We don't have to pray about that. They are things that we don't have to overthink. If you overthink them, you'll underact them. Yeah. And we don't want to be underactors. We don't want to be underactors at all. We want to go above and beyond. The Bible says that Jesus turned to this woman, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer. And she was obviously afraid. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Notice the words that Jesus says. Your faith has made you well. Now, the power came out of him, but Jesus said it was your faith, it was your belief that has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. You know, it's really important how we posture ourselves and how we position ourselves. So where and how you position yourself reflects what you're believing for. It reflects what you're believing for, because belief affects posture. It reflects posture and position. Belief and faith always has a certain lean in. It has a certain lean in. when you're believing and you're full of need. When you're hungry, like when I'm hungry, everyone knows I'm hungry. When I'm hungry, because I let everybody know. I drop hints that I'm hungry. I go to the fridge, I look for food, and there's nothing there. It's not that there's nothing there, it's full, but I just can't see it. So the fact that I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It's just I'm doing the man thing. But I drop hints about food. I do it around the office all the time. And walk into the kitchen and what are we eating? What are we having for lunch? And I'm great at asking the question because there's something driving me. It's called hunger. Anyone hungry today?
Yeah.
Hungry in the natural? Hungry in the spiritual? Like, we have no trouble feeding our flesh man when we're hungry in the natural. And we get up, we have breakfast, we have lunch. We're going in the cafe straight after this as soon as I finish talking, so I better hurry up. And we're going to go out there and we're going to eat some food. But in here right now, we're feeding ourselves spiritually. And there's a hunger that we need to have that is reflected in the posture that our worship displays to God. And our heart displays to God that, God, I want to be like this woman. I want to have a hunger. I can see this woman coming through the crowd on that day, and I bet you everyone was like, who's she? Like, what's her issue? Well, her issue is 12 years. That's what it is. Her issue is it's been long enough, and I've had enough, and I'm fed up. Her issue is I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I can't take it anymore. Her issue is I want to touch Jesus, and I want to touch him now. I know what I want, and I want it now. Her issue is I don't care who you are, get out of my way. Her issue is I can see her coming through the crowd like Miss Piggy off the Muppets. I can just see her coming through screaming, head shaking, wobbling, pushing people out of the way, doing the karate chop thing just to get to Jesus to touch him. That's what you do when you're hungry. When you're hungry, you push in line. See, we try and get everyone to behave orderly out there. But when you're really hungry, Mick, when you're really hungry, you just push in. You don't care. You just go to the front of the line because you're hungry. See, it's need that determines hunger. Need that determines hunger. But we only go to work for one reason. Because we're hungry. Says the appetite. Proverbs 16:26 says the appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. Their hunger drives them on. A hunger to provide for ourselves and our families. A hunger to buy a house. A hunger to be blessed. A hunger to be blessing for others. It says it's good for a worker to be hungry because it drives them on. It keeps them coming back the next day. And the next day, and the next day, it drives them on because they know they need to be working. We need to work if we're going to produce. And so faith works the same. It drives us. It drives our hunger to action ourselves, to get close to the heart of God, close to the presence of God, and to see the provision of God. Lastly, my last big thought is this, is it's our believing. Our believing is affecting our receiving. Our believing is affecting our receiving. Jesus said to her, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Now we know that God heals, we don't. We know that God heals and God does miracle and miracles. We don't do that. We're not the worker of miracles. God is. God's the provider. God's the blesser. God's the one that intervenes. God's the one that gets involved. And yet there's a partnership that happens here. And Jesus identified that partnership and he said, go your way, your faith has made you well. Why is it so important to keep making room for God? Because when we make room for God, we open up our lives to the possibilities of what God could do. And I want to live in that zone of opening up to the possibilities of what God could do. Of letting God be God in my world, in my life. Believing is my responsibility. That's why I'm called a believer. That's why you're called a believer. You're identified and tagged as a believer because you believe. Because you believe. And when it comes to believing, you only actually believe what you do. Because belief is an expression, has an external display for everyone else to see. So believing is a behavior and a posture. So the truth is, we have a part and we play a part in every possibility. The will of God just doesn't automatically happen. It just doesn't happen like that. It happens in partnership and cooperation with our believing. God asks us to believe. He asks us to believe. We're part of the process. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're simply responsible for the process. We're responsible for the process. See, my responsibility as a preacher is to preach the truth and present the word. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is not the outcome. My responsibility is the process. God is the one responsible for all outcomes. For all outcomes. He calls me to be the believer. Would you be the believer today? Would you stand to your feet? Let's stand right across the hall today. If you're online today, why don't you take a moment just to lean in right now as we do what believers do. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. We're going to set a posture. We're going to set a moment in our hearts of leaning and have a hunger that drives, a hunger that positions, a hunger that presses through, a hunger that postures myself in the presence of God, bringing my need to Him, a desperation that motivates me to push through the crowd and to bypass the line, because I've got something I need God to do. I've got something I need God to help with. You know, when you live that way, you come to church even when you don't feel like coming. You turn up. You sing the songs even when you feel like you've lost your song. You sing the songs. You lift your hands when your hands are heavy. The Bible talks about that. Heavy hands. You stand up straight and you engage with God. You function on faith, not feelings. Why? Because you're a believer. You're a believer. I'm a believer. So I'm going to believe. I'm a believer, so I'm going to worship. I'm a believer, so I'm going to serve. I'm a believer, so I'm going to give. When we walk in faith and walk by that kind of faith, we're acting on faith, and we push past the barriers of moments, the barriers of restriction, and the barriers of hindrance. So here's my closing thought. For our church, and that's for every one of us, I pray that we would not be a tentative church, a nervous church. When you're tentative, you hold back. You hold back. I went to watch Isaac, my grandson, play rugby league this week in a school competition. He's never really played much rugby league. He's only just starting to play. But if you met Isaac, he's a tall boy. So he's about this much taller than anyone in his class, anyone else on his team. And he can run. He can run. He's fast. It's like his grandfather. Fine specimen of a human being. And he goes in the park and he plays with his mates all the time. But when he got onto the rugby league field, you know, because he's doing it with his mates, he's smashing his mates on the park. But when they got onto the field, he just was holding back just a little bit tentative, a little bit nervous, not wanting to hurt some of the people involved. And like, there's girls on the other team, and he's not wanting to tackle them hard. And I pulled him aside and said, Isaac, just hit them. just tackle them. Girl, boy, don't matter. They're on the team. Tackle them around the legs. Hit them hard. Hit them like you're in the park. Don't be tentative. Don't you be nervous now. Don't be nervous. Goes out there, gets the ball, run like a rabbit. Head back, hair flowing, screaming down the sideline, scores a try. Granddad on the sidelines, because you can't yell out nowadays. See, in the old days, who remembers the old days? In the old days, as a parent or a grandparent, you're on the sideline, you're cheering, you're yelling, you're screaming. You can't do that now. So it's on the sideline. That's my grandson. It's cool. It's pretty good. One of the dads next to me says, you get that boy to play club football. He can really play. said, you should get him into the Marsden State School sporting program, Jenny. And he just got in. He got in. He was supposed to go for a trial, but he was sick. He missed the trial. And this is the way God works. He missed the trial because he had, like, COVID. Couldn't go. He goes for a sleepover at a mate's place. Mucking around with his mate playing. The mate's dad sees him, rings up Danielle, my daughter, and says, you should get your son Isaac in that Marsden State School sporting program. He's good. And he said, if you like, I'll make a phone call. Danielle said, well, he was trying out, but he missed it. He was sick. He said, I'll make a call. He said, I know the coach. He rang the coach. They got him in. It's like God just makes a way. He just makes a way. And it becomes obvious when you're not tentative, when you don't hold back, when you go all in. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous in a room like this. Don't be holding back. Like, we have these guys up here singing because they can sing. And I tell them, don't be nervous. You got a microphone, use the microphone. Sing into it. Sing into it. You're on stage because you can sing. Esther, you're here because you can sing. Give me that microphone. You're here, wow, because you can sing. So don't you be going nervous on me. Don't you be tentative on me. I hear you down there, and when you're on here, I want to hear you. I want to hear you sing. Don't you be going passive on me. If you are, I'm going to come and stand right here. I will embarrass you, girl. I will shame you down so you sing. That's your microphone. Who else has the microphone? This is Melissa. Oh, you got it off. This is Melissa. She is so sweet. She is so beautiful. Just seen her grow up in years in the church. Here she is on stage. Melissa, look at all these people. They're all your friends. They believe in you. Okay? Every time you're on stage, they wanna feel what's on you. And your voice and the anointing of God on that. So don't be shy. Don't hold back. You just watch me. Just watch how I do it. Because, like, I can't sing, but I do it anyway. And they want to hear a whole lot more of you than they do me. You know that? You sound great. Be confident. Hold your head up high. And sing. Because there's a song in there. There's a song in there to come out. But you know how you do that acting stuff? Yeah? Do that right here. But not act, but shine. Yeah. Give us some encouragement. Come on. Miss Mia is beautiful. She is. Stands up here every week. Every week. Leading worship. Giving her very best. And we're just seeing her grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow in the gift of God that's on her life and the anointing of God that's on her life. And Mia, I want you to know that this church community wants to just feel the sense of God's presence that you bring, that's on you, as you lead and as you worship. And I want you to lead worship while you're leading worship to 10,000 people. It's 10,000 people. Don't see gaps. See greatness out there. And when people aren't singing, sometimes it's because they can't sing. Because they got such an issue. Such an issue. Just things they need God to do. And there's a song that as you bring it, it's going to bring healing to people. It's going to bring wholeness to people. It's going to bring anointing to people and help to people. It's going to move people's hearts. So you sing. Sing loud. TJ. TJ. TJ.
TJ. TJ took on leadership at Mia, of this group, when, you know, they'd been reduced significantly and was a reinvention moment in time, and they've really led it really, really well, and I'm really proud of them. And TJ, keep leading, keep bringing the strength that's on you. You're an unusual character, but there's amazing strength and structure and thought process that you put into things, and don't hold back on that. And when you lead, keep doing what you've been doing. I know your heart is just to bring people into the presence of God more and more. So you keep doing that. Keep doing it. It's a good thing.
That last week, I think. Johnny, you're good. We love you. Your family and what you bring. You guys create an atmosphere. I bet you Jesus on that road wished he had a band like this, but he didn't. But we do. So let's create a road for people right now. A road for people. Don't be shy. Don't you be backward right now. You got an issue? I got issues. You got issues? I got issues. You know I got issues. I know you got issues. Let's just bring them into the presence of a king right now. Come on, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. That's what believers do, they praise. That's our language. It says God inhabits those praises. Let's give God something to inhabit right now as we close off and we sing this beautiful song of praise and worship about the majesty of God for a few moments. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you sing? Father, I pray for people today that have situations and circumstances and issues, Lord, that have just weighed them down, that have been heavy on their heart, heavy on their mind. And Lord, I pray today, as we come into moments like this into your presence and into your house as a church family, that in those moments, God, that you provide a space and an environment, an atmosphere, God, where we can touch you and you can touch us. And there can be this divine exchange that takes place where something out of you flows into us. And suddenly everything changes, God. Lord, these are just not stories from the Bible for us to read. These are stories to encourage us in our journey of what we can expect to experience, of what we can expect, God, for you to do. And so I pray today, as we make room, that you would fill the room. As we make room for you in our hearts and lives, as we make room for possibility, that possibilities would take place. Your word says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God would do for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. That's us. And so we pray for us today to engage with heaven. To be hungry, not to be shy, not to be tentative, not to be nervous, not to hold back, but to stand up tall, put our shoulders back, put our head back, and run. Run into your presence. Run into your zone. Run into your heart. Run into that place, God, where we can touch you and receive from you. That's my prayer. And so today, help people in their challenge. Help people in their discomfort. Help people where things are needing to be changed and miracles need to take place. Father, I pray, do that, because you're the one that brings the answers today. Encourage us today, God, to keep singing our song, keep lifting our hands, keep showing up, keep serving, keep engaging, keep building connection and community and hope for one another, is what we pray today in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. Why don't you give the Lord a big hand right now? Come on, Lord, a big hand. Celebrate his presence right now. Thank you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our online community. God bless you today. Pray you have an amazing week. Cafe's open for hospitality right now. Also, our food co-op is open if you're wanting to shop this morning. God bless you. Don't forget, girls, register for the girls' event next weekend. Get your registration in at the Ask Me Desk. Thank you.